Well, welcome everyone. Thank you very much for coming to our second Record Manager Forum of the year. Look, before we started, it is only appropriate we pay respect to the traditional owners of this land, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. I do pay my respect to all their elders past and present, and a special welcome to anyone here today of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander descent who happens to be here. Welcome. Jeff Hinchcliffe's my name. I'm the Director of State Records Authority of New South Wales. It's always a privilege to be at these and get to open them. We do have some other people here I'd like to acknowledge today, but welcome to our forum. A special welcome to our guests, David Roberts and Barbara and Aliza from our new team, our new home in DFSI, which is the ICT and Digital Group. I'd also like to extend a welcome to our guests from Queensland. Where are they today? Oh, there they are. Okay, so we've got Ingrid McDonald and David Bromwich down here from Queensland State Archives this week. So a special welcome to you guys too. I think before I get into today's forum, I just wanted to share a couple of significant updates with you from State Records, which hopefully you'll find interesting. Oops. That one? There we go. Oh, yeah. Don't know if you've seen that before. Probably haven't. It's fairly new and it's a bit... bit rough, but my team put this together. I was very keen to understand what our remit was under the State Records Act and what the coverage was we have across the state. So that represents 400 public offices across New South Wales. So it's a very broad remit. It consists of about 217 New South Wales government agencies, about 155 local government authorities, and they're going through extensive change and consolidation at the moment, which will probably bring that number down to around 115. There's also state-run hospitals, state-run universities, state-owned corporations in there, but it's around 400. So it's a fairly broad remit. And it highlights some of the challenges we face as we go ahead, especially in a digital age where everything is so different and so diverse. We are going through trying to reimagine how we remain useful and relevant in very much a digital age where we still only have a relatively small team, but obviously the complexity of what we're trying to do is very different than it was 10 or 20 years ago. So I hopefully that's useful for you, just to give you a bit of an idea. Just by way of interest, the far left, the red dot to the far left on the border over here, and I haven't got my pointer here. That's a podcast, I won't use that. That's actually the wild dog board out there, and the little red dot out in the Pacific is where we're going to have the next board meeting, which is going to probably take a week. So that's Lord Howe Island. So, I think what it presents as well is the... not only the vastness of the area that we do cover, but if you think about it, the diversity of the temperature fluctuations, which in a record and archive environment is the main enemy, is that temperature swing. We're out at Broken Hill, just north of Mildura last year in winter, and it was about 10 degrees, and yet in summer it's probably 44 degrees. So it just gives you that incredible range. I think that's interesting. The reason I raise it today is because we are talking about standards, and we're going to be doing more work on standards in the future, which Barbara is helping us with, or has been helping us with. And so it's one of those challenges that we have that we can always got to be conscious of. Can you hear me at the back there, guys? You can? Good. All right. I wanted to show you a new website. We launched this on the 21st of June. We're very proud of it. It's certainly very clean. It's built using latest technology. It's on a Drupal platform, very responsive and adaptive. It allows interaction. And so we've been quickly in trying to cut out the services. So just to get something like that up, and I've only got a couple of pages here on it, today, but there's about 2,000 pages of content behind that site, so it's a big site. And you never get everything done. If we had everything done by the time we launched, we wouldn't have it up now. So we've had to launch it. For those that are using it, you will notice that we have a bit of a problem at the moment, and it's a problem with some of the legacy systems we're referring to and connecting to, and we're quickly trying to fix that. But basically, we've got some systems that have created some, access issues, and well, they're just not compliant, so they leave holes into our web environment. We've had to take them down. This will take us a little while to completely finish the transition, but the site itself is terrific. It sits external to us. It's hosted in a government accredited provider now. It's fully monitored, 24/7 support. I've got a team, and some of them here today, Richard Lehane, David Thornell, for example, working very, very hard on resolving these issues to bring it online fully. But if you haven't been on it, I encourage you to go on and have a look. I think it is different to the other site, but it's a much, I think, a lot cleaner. The other one was very functional, very useful, but you know, you had to know your way around. So hopefully this will be a bit more intuitive. And one of the things we were very keen to try and achieve on this was make sure that you could access it truly from any device. So it does respond to mobile devices. It just automatically reformats, so which is great. It means the content is so much more accessible. That's the gallery page, and as you see, very attractive and interactive, and you can click on those, and I'll take you through to some of the interesting stories and information we keep in there. And oops, there's another page of the site. So there you go. Alright, I don't know how I did that. I must come back, do I? Oh yeah, I went back, sorry. I thought I had mobile coffee shit there for a minute. And finally, just the landing page for the government record keeping. So a lot of you will probably use these resources and the tools available from this site. So that just sits under the home page. So if you do have shortcuts to the site, they may not be working at the moment if you haven't updated them. So this went live on the 21st of June, there'll be more things cut over to in the next few weeks as we fast track the final cleanup. The other big news, I suppose, we've had is that we have moved divisions within Department of Finance Services and Innovation. I'm very excited about this change. I think David.
Back to the future.
Back to the future. Exactly right. I think when David was the pioneer who saw this was the way many years ago, and he was bold and he said, "Look, we need to be over there." And it probably hasn't been without its challenges. It always will be. But I think now with our very heavy focus on digital coming through, and you'll see that in a new strategic plan, which is just being finalised at the moment. We do have a very strong focus on digital in that. Try to take ahead or move ahead the excellent work made around digital state archives and the idea of being able to offer preservation, digital preservation for the first time. There's no other system in government that really does it at the moment. It's the first one in the state. There are other instances. Our colleagues up from Queensland are just looking at a similar thing up there. They have a digital state archive themselves. So we work very closely with the other jurisdictions as well, spreading our knowledge and learning from them as well. We do that through CARA, which is the Council of Australasian Archives and Records Authority. So we're all members to that. But we have moved. We're now part of the digital group in government, headed by Damon Rees. Damon commenced in government, I think it was at 31st of May. So he's only been here a short time. I had my first meeting with him the other day after, and it was very good. I think he's got a lot of ideas, and he's very keen to learn more about, you know, this world and the world of records and archives. And he realises the importance it plays in stability, not only the stability of government, but also for the community, how it offers people that identity and their and gives them a sense of assurance that things will happen when they're supposed to happen, and keeps governments accountable. So Damon is the first government chief information and digital officer for New South Wales. His remit is whole of government, and as I say, I think our opportunity will be to bring some of the excellent work that's been done in the digital area for state records to the fore and have that used more extensively across government. But our move became effective from the 1st of July, and I think, watch your space. I think it'll be very good. And just finally, our focus this year, or it could be many things, the strategic plan has taken a little bit of while to finalise, but it's actually, there's only one person I can blame for it at the moment, that's myself. I've got a few things to do with it, but it needs to go back through the board pretty quickly, and that'll happen in the next couple of weeks, and then we should be able to release it. But you'll see in that it's got a very heavy flavour of external focus, engagement, and digital, so that we can actually build our presence and our purpose in Western Sydney. But the other things we're doing is, you'd be aware that the Government Sector Employment Act, which came in 2012, every agency has to be compliant, and we've got our term, so we're undergoing that at the moment. We will be soon, and we have to have that finished by 31st of October. Completing the MDARA project, for those of you that don't know what MDARA is, we put up a bid for some business, for a business case for some money for digitisation last 2 years actually, and we didn't have much joy, unfortunately. But we did have a real issue with risk and deterioration of archives in our collections. Could be from format degradation, like acetate film negatives, or technology obsolescence. So we put a bid up to government, out of session bid actually. So it was a minister's discretionary approval which we received, and we're just finishing that initial bit of work. But it's about $3.5 million we're doing to preserve a lot of really obscure materials. The material date range is interesting. It goes from 1867 to 2000. And people really focus on the 1867, but I'll tell you what the 2000 stuff is. If you think about the most significant event in Sydney or New South Wales that happened, it was the 2000 Olympics. So it's all the Olympic original broadcast footage. We had to quickly preserve it or move it to a new platform and format so we could access it. So that's happening now. We have a project underway. We've got an archive which is worth $923 million, 12.1 million items, increases by about 2 to 3 kilometres a year, and value has gone up just under $20 million this year. So every 5 years we've got to value it, and unfortunately that comes up in 2018, and rather than, I didn't want everyone to quit on me, so I thought we'd better try and address this in advance. So we're actually starting a project this month to do all the legwork and the pre-work to actually start, get ready for the valuation, which we have to have finished by March 2018. So it sounds like a long time, but it'll go very quickly, and I'm hoping then we can be clever and smart and use technology very cleverly to possibly make it a much easier job in the future. We are one of the agencies, lead agencies, for the interdepartmental commemorative committee that works on the World War I centenary of ANZAC commemorations, and we have a new website that, new exhibition that we're launching to replace our current one in October. This one will be called Windows into Wartime. It's actually looking at the social history and the events of World War I in the home front, so here in New South Wales, through the wonderful photos and imagery of the Government Printing Office. So it should be very good, and that's going to be, not only is it going to be in the city here, we hope, it's going to be out west, and it's going to tour. So it's going to be online. So we have a very energetic lady, Penny Stannard. Is Penny here today? I don't think so. No. Who's bringing this all to life. And I suppose locally we have the hosting of the ASA conference this year in October at Parramatta, which is close to our hearts. We'll be hosting one of the tours there at least, and other events. We also have the biannual meeting of CARA at the same time we'll be holding in Sydney. And finally, this has been another thing that's been on for the cards for a while, but this is the year it's going to happen. We're close to starting procurement action for a new system. So this is our BOS system, our old business operating system, which is essentially our system we run and manage all the archives with. So we are looking to upgrade that. So now today's forum. It's a great cast, and I'm fortunate. I know many of the people, and it's been a real privilege to get to meet them and know them so well. I'm not going to do much of an introduction because I think they'll do their own introductions. But firstly, David Roberts is going to talk about the history of standards and give a bit of context into that for us all. Then Barbara is going to take us through her work on standards over the many years she's been involved in this, probably many more than she cares to admit to. But she'll talk about the relevancy and why we need them. And Alicia is going to talk about her role in New South Wales Government and the information management framework approach to standards for the future. And finally, Catherine Robinson is going to talk about standards in the State Records Act and how they interrelate. I would say too that I think while we're going through all this change, it is so relevant we talk about this today. You know, if you look at where government's going and business is going very digital, everything we do is digital, we've now got to have this very much so be at the forefront of the planning of all the new systems, and we call it records by design, but it could be using those by design principles so that the things that we need to have happen in a records management system happen automatically and much more seamlessly for the end user, who really has no idea that underneath that, in a lot of cases, why that information or data needs to be kept. So that's why we're very focused on this concept of using by design principles. I'm sure you're going to hear a fair bit about that today.